Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We bring in Hokie Steve Adams, who joins us live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, and you walked in, you said, if there's a God, the Wizards will get Cooper Flagg. They'll get the number one overall pick.
That's exactly what I said.
And you've been a fan since the Bullets days.
I go way back, man. I go way back to the, you know, mid-70s Bullets and winning the championship in 78 with Elvin Hayes and Dick Motta and the operating over to the Fat Lady Sings and all that deal to basically for the last 30 years of just bad basketball.
Yep, in the last 30 years, they've had a number one overall pick, Kwame Brown, yep. Maybe one of the worst of all time, a number one overall pick, John Wall, that never lived up to the expectations of a number one overall pick. Fantastic career in Washington, never got us over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Wizards have got to get that one guy, you know, that legendary guy that's going to, you know, obviously 1 year at Duke, but I saw enough at 1 year at Duke to think that what Cooper Flagg could do for the Wizards would be tremendous. And you know, they've got some pieces in place. They just need that guy. And I really think he's that guy.
I think he's the best American prospect maybe in 10 years.
Wow.
It's been Europeans.
That's pretty strong.
Recently. You had Zion Williamson. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be better than Zion. You mentioned
Zion
1 year at Duke.
Cooper Flagg will play more games in the first year than Zion will play in
career.
Three. Yeah.
Cooper Flagg was great in Duke. We've been watching him play since like 8th grade.
Right.
That's how big of a prospect he's been. So this could change the fortunes of this franchise. And I'm desperate for Cooper Flagg, but I've been saying I trust Michael Winger and Will Dawkins as long as they get a top 3 pick. Because the two Rutgers freshmen are great as well.
They're good. And like I said, they've got the 18th pick overall. So, like you said, if they don't, for whatever reason, they got the 14% chance, just like the Utah Jazz and Charlotte. So if they don't get it, then obviously package whatever they get with 18 and get up in that top 3.
Yeah. Sounds like you'll be watching tonight, though.
I will be. And then I'll be flipping over watching Caps Canes.
I love to hear that. We'll talk Caps Canes in a second here. But we got Hokie Steve, so let's do the Hokies update here on AWOD Radio. And I think you wanted to start with softball news.
Yeah, it was good, good news. Well, you know, I guess mixed news for the Hokies. They were really hoping to get a chance to win the ACC championship. And they had a 9-2 lead, AWOD, in Friday's game against Clemson and could not hold on. Could not hold on. Did not win Friday's semifinal game. So then they were on the fence to host, you know, the top 16 seeds hosting the NCAA softball tournament. They were apparently right at probably 17 because Oregon got that last seed at 16. So the Hokies will go on the road starting Friday down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Shocker, they're going to the SEC. The SEC got 14 teams in the tournament. The ACC a lot better than basketball. They got 9 teams in, but the SEC got 14, and they're down in the Tuscaloosa region. They will take on Belmont at 3:30, and then if they win that one, they'll probably get Alabama again, who they played twice during the regular season down at Tuscaloosa. Beat them once, lost to them once. And Virginia had a good year too. They were 37 and 17. They are heading to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, they will be in that regional, and they'll take on North Florida at 3:00. So, if you like softball, which I do actually, I kind of enjoy it. The SEC's got 14 and the ACC's got 9, but so these 14 pods, you can lose two, or you don't want to lose two, but you get one loss, and if you win that one, the Hokies are lined up to probably go to Norman, Oklahoma, the defending four-time NCAA champion. So we'll see.
Do you normally follow softball, or is it just when the Hokies are good?
I do. I mean, Pete DeMoore has done a really good job at Tech. This is their sixth consecutive year in the tournament. So, I mean, this has been a pretty good team. If you remember back, it goes back, believe it, just 3 years ago, Tech actually hosted. They won their regional. They actually hosted a super regional and got to the final game where they had a chance to go to the College World Series. Did not win. They went to the College World Series about 10, 12 years ago. So Tech has been pretty good at softball for quite some time. So, yeah, I do follow it, actually.
And then Hokies baseball.
Hokies baseball had to – actually, they did not play an ACC game, this ACC league game this weekend. They played Mercer, won both of those. So this is the last weekend of the regular season for ACC baseball. And all 16 teams qualify for the tournament, which will be down starting next week at Durham Bulls Athletic Park down in Durham. So the Hokies got some work to do. They're sitting on the outside again. They're sitting on the outside looking in for the NCAA tournament. They're 11 and 16 overall in the ACC and 29 and 22 overall. Virginia's actually played a lot better to date. They're going. They just swept Miami. Took 2 out of 3 from Georgia Tech. So this weekend, the Hoos go to Blacksburg. Big three-game series starting Thursday at Tech. I'm actually going out there for that game Thursday and Friday. So Hokies got some work to do. If the tournament started today, Tech would be playing Tuesday in like the 12-13 game. Virginia would have a bye into the second round as they're in the top six.
As we continue our Tech talk with Hokies, Steve, is there any football news you wanted to get to? I mean, we saw Jalen Lane
right.
in the Commanders uniform for the first time over the weekend, and I'm really starting to think he's going to win wide receiver 3. I mean, I think he's going to have an opportunity to be the punt returner number 1 right away, but I keep going back to Todd McShay saying Jalen Lane's going to get unleashed with Jaden Daniels because he just hasn't had an accurate quarterback.
Yeah, I know. And like I said, I texted you, Tuesday last week, and Pat McAfee is just doing a 10-minute love fest on Jalen Lane. I mean, they were talking about – they kept on showing the same highlights, his touchdowns at Syracuse.
The one against Marshall.
The one against Marshall. His one in the
– The technical director for that show is just hitting loop for every Jalen Lane
highlight.
Seriously,
I mean, I think there was like a 10-minute love fest for Jalen Lane, which, hey, great for him. Great for Virginia Tech. I wish we had him for more than a couple years, and I wish we had a better quarterback to get him the football. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, as you know, I'm a big Ravens fan, but I'm excited to see what Jalen Lane does for the Commanders, and it'll be exciting because, he's got like I said, he's that Swiss Army knife guy, right? Can turn kicks, return punts, throw the football sometimes as well. So looking forward to watching him in the NFL.
Hokie Steve, did you have any friends that were in Blacksburg for Metallica?
I did. Unfortunately, I was not one of them, and now I'm very mad at myself for not going.
You got some FOMO?
I got tons of FOMO. tons of FOMO. Yeah, everybody that I went to, and I'm talking from, 20-somethings to even knocking on mid-60s, they said, incredible, incredible, incredible show. And if you missed it, you missed a great concert because and all three, Pantera, Suicidal Tendencies, and Metallica rocked it hard all night long. And I know they're playing up at FedEx in next weekend or something like that.
Yeah,
too.
It's not going to be the same.
It's not going to be the same exactly. So the Hokies, Virginia Tech Athletics, did a great job not only securing Metallica but then pulling it off. And apparently, from everybody that I've talked to, they said it was just a 10+. On the scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing. And it's exciting because I think it probably also made the community a ton of money, which is really cool there. Virginia Tech Athletics posted today, ticket packages go on sale this week
right.
for the football team. Where do you think the excitement level's at, 1 through 10 for the fan base? Because I thought last year was like 8 or 9,
last
right?
year was high. Was high.
Should you say 5, maybe?
Maybe a little bit more than that, but it's definitely in that 5.5 to 6.8 range. It's nowhere near what it was, because obviously you lose so much of that, the talent, and let's face it, they had a lot of guys drafted in the NFL, so they did have some talent. Unfortunately, that talent only got to 6-6 during the regular season, but I think, I think we're cautious, again, cautiously optimistic, right? We got drones back, so that helps. But, yeah, again, I think we're, you know, show me Coach Pry what you can do with this team. They've got a tough one in South Carolina to start out down in Atlanta. Then you've got Vanderbilt and before the ACC play starts. But, you know, I'd give it maybe, you know, six and a half.
I hate to say this because I'm rooting for Coach Pry and the Hokies, but what record keeps his job? What record keeps him as safe as the coach in Blacksburg?
You know, somebody asked us to Whit Babcock, you know, and he said something to the effect of, you'll know it. I'm not going to put a number on it. You'll know it if there's improvement. But I would think you've got to be at least a plus one, if not a plus two, which means you're either 7-5 or 8-4. I think, to me, I'd like to see 8-4. I mean, I think 7-5,
he's safe.
I think 7-5, you're sitting squarely on the fence because, you know, you've been 6-6 and with all the talent coming back. So, it's going to be very interesting to see, but I think 8-4, I agree. 8-4, he's solid. That's a plus two. You know, the schedule sets itself up after the first couple of games. There's a lot of winnable games on the schedule. You got to go out and do it.
Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. You can join me and Hokie Steve live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbrook, 833-804-0910. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910TheFan. Let's go to line one. We've got Brian in the West End. And, Brian, my producer tells me you were one of our winners here on 910TheFan that got to see Metallica
nice. In
Blacksburg.
That's right. That's right. I just wanted to give a shout-out to you and 910. That was an epic and iconic experience, and man, they killed it. It was crazy just growing up a Hokie fan. I worked at Tech. My wife went there and as an alumni, and you know, anybody that's ever been to a football game, and obviously Enter Sandman is insane, and just all the national coverage that we got as well. It was a wild experience.
Well, congratulations, Brian. I'm so thankful that you're a listener here at 910 The Fan, and we were able to send you, and sounds like you and your wife had a fantastic time. Why don't you kind of paint us a picture of where you were seated or standing and what it actually looked like for the Metallica concert?
Well, we actually had really good seats. It was really, like, I don't know, maybe 25 rows up, and just the whole circular setup of their production was pretty wild. They kept moving the drums all around underneath the stage, and you know, they were popping up in different little areas so everybody could get a good look at everything. And I just kept joking with my wife. You know, she was like, "I only know Enter Sandman. I don't know how much I'm going to like the rest of the show," but I think she enjoyed it more than I did.
That's so awesome, Brian. I really appreciate you chiming in here and thanking us. And we thank you for being a listener. So it sounds like that was one of the best concerts you've ever been to, huh?
Dude, that was awesome. Trust me. So bucket list checked.
That's awesome, Brian. Thanks so much for chiming in, man.
Thank you, man.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And that was an awesome giveaway that we got to give away those tickets, because I know I had friends that were calling me saying, can you get me those tickets?
Yeah, and they were not cheap, trust
yeah.
me. I mean, when it first hit and some of the prices that I saw, that actually backed a lot of people away initially, and it ended up kind of being on the back end. If you waited, you know, you were taken care of. But, yeah, that was and Stubb, and you know what I'm talking about with lot two is directly behind the south end zone at Virginia Tech Lane Stadium. Apparently, that whole lot had to be shut, and you can get a ton of cars in that lot for football. That whole lot was shut down because they had that many tractor trailers that had to be
had to be
in that lot in lot two to put that stage together.
I heard somewhere between 30 and 100.
I heard somewhere like 50 plus, actually. Yeah. So I mean, lot two is a big lot, as you know, Stubb.
Yeah.
You can probably get 5,000-ish, I don't know, maybe 25, 3,000 cars in there. And that whole thing was shut down because tractor trailer after tractor trailer. It was like watching going down Laburnum Avenue, watching the 18-wheelers go into RIR. It was just constant tractor, you know, the tour. And they set that stage up, and that stage went from basically one side of the stadium to the other
yeah.
in a complete circle.
So what was the snake pit? Stubb, did you see pictures of that?
Yeah, that was like right in the middle.
In the middle.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned it. I was there.
Oh, what?
Wow.
What?
Tell us more.
Stopping the show.
Tell us more, dude.
You put Brian on line one. Stop doesn't tell us he was there.
It was genuinely incredible. It was the coolest thing I've ever experienced. Enter Sandman with them, 75,000 people. It was
setting
rocking.
Off a mini earthquake, right?
Too many earthquakes, because they teased it at the beginning. It set off an earthquake both times. Not everyone was jumping. I think there was a lot of older people that weren't quite Hokies fans and weren't in the jumping mood, per se, at 11 p.m. But it was genuinely a beautiful event. It was perfect. There was a mosh pit in the pit at the bottom at one point that ran for the entire five-hour show. Perfect product. I could not say more positive things about this.
I feel like you're not a mosh pit guy.
No. Oh, God, no. That would be terrifying. I don't like people touching me.
Where were you watching?
Literally could not be higher. My back was against the wall of the East End at the top.
Oh, wow. That means, hey, AY, that side of the stadium goes five letters deep. So it goes AA, AAA, 4A, and then five.
Five.
So that's like 26 rows times five.
I think I was 5Q.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're up that high against that wall, that might be a different zip code up there.
They call those the nosebleeds.
Yeah, they call those the serious nosebleeds.
That's where we were. Me and my dad.
Was it life-changing stuff?
It was a little bit. I'd say that. Yeah, specifically Enter Sandman. I'm like decently familiar with Metallica, but that was just an incredible moment I'll never forget.
Awesome. All right, Stubb, next time don't bury the lead, dude. Come on now.
Yeah, really.
Hokie Steve and AWOD hanging out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Hokie Steve hanging out with us here. We covered the Hokies. We covered Enter Sandman. We covered Metallica. We covered
Stubb.
Found
out that Stubb went to Enter Sandman. Went to Metallica.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
So let's get into game day here on AWOD Radio. Every day is a game day, and it's a special game day. It's a Caps playoff game day. 7 p.m. puck drop. You'll hear it right here on 910 a.m., 105.1 FM. Feels like a must-win game for the Caps.
Absolutely. I mean, you watched Saturday night's game, right? I mean, they got shut out. Yeah. They got shut out at the Lenovo Center down in Raleigh. And this is the thing I'm worried about. Obviously, Ovechkin hadn't scored, and that's obviously a big deal. The Canes have outshot them like 89-56 in this series.
Yeah.
And we're only in game three.
The thing is, the Canes outshoot everybody.
I know.
Of their philosophy.
But you got to shoot the win. Right. I mean, you got to shoot the score, right?
Yeah. So, I think what's frustrating to me is, felt like game one, Caps were outskated by the Canes. They got lucky. They had the lead, and then it flipped, and they lose, right? Game two, they were probably outskated again, but they got the goal and got the win. Game three was like a product of game one and two combined. They are outskated the whole time. They didn't get the goal. Instead, they got shut out, and the Canes kept scoring.
Yeah, and like I said, this game's obviously in Raleigh tonight down at the Lenovo Center. So, to me, you cannot go down to this team 3-1 and then think you're going to beat them three in a row to win the series. I don't think you can do it. You just can't do it.
I like what you said during the break, which is Alex Ovechkin needs to step up.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, Sebastian Aho hadn't scored for the Canes. So
right. I think he's had a couple of assists, though. But they've
done a good job of keeping him, you know, without lighting the lamp.
Yeah.
But Ovi's got to step up.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a crucial member of this team. It's not just he's the greatest goal scorer of all time. It was the end of his career, and he's scoring on power plays. He was scoring on 5-on-5. He was scoring on power plays.
Right.
He was still hitting people. He's still, you know, diving in front of pucks. And, you know, we talked to Canes earlier today. With a Canes reporter, it kind of feels like Ovi's slow skating during this series.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, he was rolling coming into the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
With obviously, you know.
And he was rolling round one with his first ever playoff overtime game winner.
Yeah, this is a really tough series for a round two.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a round three series, but it's not. And, you know, certainly tonight the Caps have got to find a way to win this one, to go back, come back up to D.C. and at 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, for Ovi, they got to get him more opportunities to get shots on net that are not just. It feels like he's only getting shots during the power play now, and they decided to make a decision in game two and actually didn't go with Ovechkin late in that game in the line because they wanted more of a defensive look. And it just, I hate to say it, but maybe it is tough for a guy who broke the goal scoring record, who broke his leg this season.
Coming off a super, they're 1-7 on the power play too.
Yeah.
So you know, again, when you got the man up, when
they're getting the opportunity, that's the thing.
Canes are 3-8.
Right.
But you know, Caps are 1-7. So obviously, you know, this is a huge game tonight for both teams, and certainly if you're a Caps fan, you want to see them get on the right side of the column.
Yeah, they're going to need everybody to step up. Coming into the series, we said, all right, there needs to be great net mining from Logan Thompson. For the most part, I think he's done that.
Which they've gotten, yeah.
We talked about how they needed to be good in the power play. That hasn't happened. And they need secondary scoring. Guys from outside of the first two lines to provide, you know, light up the lamp, like you said.
And Frederick Anderson is doing a good job for the Canes in goal, too. So.
Yeah.
If it's going to be a good night, I think, for D.C. if we get the number one draft pick.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
And then take it right down to Raleigh, right?
My show tomorrow will be zero prep.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. So this is a big night for D.C. sports. You're right. Trying to get the number one overall pick with the Wizards and the Capitals, this pivotal game four. But you're right. I mean, I don't see them winning this series if they come home down 3-1.
That's a tough team to beat, period. And now you're talking about winning three in a row. That's just tough to do.
Yeah. You know who absolutely needs to step up? It's unfortunate. Is John Carlson.
Yeah.
I mean, man, he was just he's been so great for so long. He was great during the regular season. This postseason has not been great for him. And so, look, this is, I mean, Chychrun as well needs to step up. Man, it's just tough. I don't know, and I talked to them, how did Carolina only get 99 points? They feel like they're the better team than us.
I know.
Right?
I know. I know. And, you know, you look at the other series between Toronto and Florida, too. And I don't know. You know, it's NHL hockey, man.
Yeah.
And it's typically the better team with the hot goalie somehow. And this is why you have eights beating ones in the NHL that you never hardly ever see in the NBA.
We wanted to close out Hokie Steve's segment with a little Baltimore Orioles update. Day off today for the O's.
Day off today. You know, last week started out really bad. Took the collar up in Minneapolis, went over 3 against the Twins. Well, by the way, the Twins have won 8 in a row. And the only other team hotter or as hot as the Minnesota Twins are the St. Louis Cardinals, who the Nats got this weekend. Nats only scored 3 runs in 3 games, right?
Yeah.
They got 10-0. I know 10-0 loss. The Nats are obviously having struggle hitting the ball. Orioles lost 2 games. They were 5.5 back last week, 7.5 back today. Nats were 6 back last week. Now they're 9. The one shining thing, as I said, I think there's a little bit of light maybe in the tunnel. Sagano is their best pitcher. There's no doubt about it. He's 4-2. He's got a 2.7 ERA. He had another great start Friday night in California. But Dean Kramer had his start last week in Minnesota, went 7 innings, only gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. Cano just blew the game in the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. That's why the Orioles didn't get the one win there. And then yesterday they got Zach Eflin off the IL. And after he'd given up a couple runs in the first inning, he shut him down, went five innings, went five innings overall, and only gave up two runs, and then shut him out the rest of the way until they turned it over to the bullpen. So the Orioles come in with a little bit of momentum, two out of three. Mount Kessel had a good weekend. Gunnar Henderson had a good weekend. They get Minnesota again back in Baltimore. So the Twins are hot, but the Orioles, you know, have a little bit of a momentum going into this week, and then they got the Nats this weekend.
Home run leaders in Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge with 14. Schwarbaum for the Phillies, he's got 14. Shohei Ohtani has 12. And then James Wood tied for 7th with 10.
Yeah, he's been crushing it for the Nats. So,
yeah, you know, I'd look at Schwarber, though, and I'm like, he should still be a National. It's unfortunate. The Phillies got Trey Turner,
right,
Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, all the Nats that I loved.
Look at one thing, too, interesting. There's a little bit of rumors on the trading block that Freddie Peralta for the Brewers might be looking to move him. The Orioles would be hot for him if they can get him. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's only making $8 million. That's certainly manageable. That's, you know, the Orioles can do that. So if Freddie Peralta gets traded, the Orioles really need to go after him hard, because Grayson Rodriguez is still on the DL. Don't know what his situation is. Same thing with Bradish. So they really need to get another starter in there besides Eflin and Sagano and Kramer.
Steve, always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. That was Hokey Steve. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Caps. And there's a Caps game day, a playoff game day tonight on The Fan. It works out perfectly because we're proud to be the home for the Flying Squirrels, who have off days on Monday, which allows us to air the play-by-play for the Washington Capitals against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop for this pivotal game four. The NFL had quarterbacks back in the building, rookies back in the building, and an announcement of a retirement for the Saints quarterback Derek Carr. And that's the lead story here as we go around the National Football League on AWOD Radio, because Derek Carr kind of screwed the Saints with this announcement being after the draft. The Saints should have drafted Shedeur Sanders. I mean, maybe you argue that the Saints didn't have him on their draft board, but Tyler Shough out of Louisville might be quarterback one now? That's just insane to me. The Saints are going to take a massive step back in my mind. How are they going to handle this? We were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and our Uber driver was hilarious stuff. He was telling me how he used to be a diehard fan and a season ticket holder, and recently he just doesn't give a blank anymore because he knows the ownership doesn't give a blank and the team stinks. And I'm going to put, like, the Saints are now almost as low as Cleveland in terms of the vibe meter heading into this season for the AWOD power rankings. I might then put them way, way, way down on the list here with this most recent news. Just crazy when you think about it. Another story I wanted to get to here on the National Football League here. So we're all, you know, interested for the schedule release, right, and how that's going to come out on Wednesday. Well, this reporter I read his article this morning, John Breach from CBS Sports, gave a few interesting nuggets about the schedule release. The AFC team stub with the easiest schedule, all right, has finished with their winning record every year. The AFC team with the easiest schedule has finished with a winning record every year. For this year, that's the New England Patriots. I think they're going to make a major jump in terms of wins.
Yeah,
we talked about this earlier in the offseason. One of the best hirings in my mind in head coach Mike Vrabel. He had so much success with an awful franchise in the Tennessee Titans. So I already thought that was great. I thought they had a really solid draft as well. They're building around young quarterback Drake May. And it wasn't just they had a solid draft. They drafted like 13 players, including Hopewell, Virginia, and Richmond product Travion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State. So they get better in the backfield. They got a wide receiver, Kyle Williams. They're going to improve on the defensive side of the ball as well. This was a team that had an awful season, and it led to the firing of first-year coach Gerard Mayo with a 4-13 record. I could see them winning 9. And the trend says that the AFC team with the easiest strength of schedule ends up being a winning team, 9-8. I'm gonna agree with that trend. How about another one for you, Stubb, from CBS Sports? The team with the easiest first place schedule. All right, the team with the easiest first place schedule. So remember, that's your division champ gets your first place schedule every year. Is averaging 10.25 wins per season over the past 4 years. So double digit wins feels like a lock for the easiest first place schedule in the NFL. This year's team, the Buffalo Bills. Lock it in, 11 wins for the Bills. And I kind of think that trend is going to continue as well.
Yeah, you get 3-4 wins against the Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah. Now, here's one that it's going to be funny here, because we got a few Giants fans that are listening. One more strength of schedule note. The team with the hardest first-place schedule has regressed by 3.5 games. That is the Lions. The team with the and the Giants here, they predict, will take a step back as well, which is just funny to me, because how did the Giants take a step back from 3-14? Right? But yeah, so they think that latest one, I think that could be an interesting one here. Could the team that has the hardest first place schedule regress by 3.5 games? That's the Lions? I could see that happening. We've been talking about this. 15 wins? 3.5 games back, that would put them at 11-7. Like that kind of makes sense for where I think the Lions will finish. 11-12. I think they're going to be a double digit win team. I don't think they sniff 13, 14, or 15. I don't think the Vikings sniff 13, 14, or 15 either. So that's the latest trends here ahead of the NFL schedule release. The 49ers have the easiest path to having a much better record than last season. The Eagles have the fourth toughest strength of schedule in the National Football League. Now, the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions. They're a 14-win team this past season. I would probably put them between 9 to 12 wins. I think they take a slight step back, but I think they probably still play in the conference championship game. Like I'm leaning towards Eagles-Commanders rematch conference championship game, and whoever the hell wins this division gets to host that game. And in the last 22 years, we have not had back-to-back NFC's divisional champions. It has not happened. It's one of the weirdest trends in football, especially because the Eagles, it feels like, have dominated the division the last 4 years, but it's been Eagles, then Cowboys. Eagles, then who this year? I don't know. Could it be the Commanders? Certainly like the moves they've made already this offseason. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Whoop, whoop, yop, hip, whoop. Those are the sounds of Chris Berman, who signed an extension and will remain at ESPN through his 50th anniversary, including a role on the Super Bowl, on the network Super Bowl coverage in 2027. They just announced today Chris Berman signs an extension. He'll become ESPN's first ever employee to do 50 seasons. He's been one of my favorites. If you know about Chris Berman, you know about the whoo, whoo, oh, whoo, the sound effects that he makes. It was always cool growing up when he made those sound effects for my Washington Redskins. Didn't really happen very often because most of the time we were losing, but there's nothing better in my mind than the fastest 2 minutes every Sunday, getting to see Chris Berman, especially talking about your team after a win. He's also going to have a role in a movie, Happy Gilmore 2, which will be out later this summer. He has done so many things for the NFL and ESPN since 1979. He turned 70 in May, and he said, quote, "It's mind-blowing to think that now I have the opportunity and good fortune to work here for 50 years, which would be two-thirds of my entire life." He's always been one of my favorites on ESPN covering the National Football League. Shout out to Chris Berman. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. So the Commanders had rookie minicamp over the weekend, and according to our friends at Riggo's Rag, there were four winners and one loser from rookie minicamp. Winner number one, we've talked about him on the show, the number 128 overall pick out of Virginia Tech, Jalen Lane. And he's eager to carve out a role for himself. I know he wants to be in the offensive rotation, but he's going to be our punt returner right away. This kid has talent. I'm really looking forward to it. Winner number two, and this is like kind of a social media winner, but Gabe Taylor, a lifelong dream come true for the brother of legendary former safety of the Washington Redskins, Sean Taylor, who was tragically killed. He was really good. From all the reports over the weekend, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, whose stub we found out over the weekend. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt goes by the nickname Bill. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt goes by the nickname Bill because growing up, his friends made fun of him for supposedly looking like Little Bill from the television show Little Bill. So Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt goes by Bill.
That's good.
All right. That cracked me up. I love that story over the weekend. And the one loser, Trey Rucker. And he was the tackle that was brought in. Trey Amos as well, one of the winners. And I've been telling you how I think there's going to be the most amount of pressure on him when we get to training camp because all eyes on a Commander's cornerback, just like they were on Emmanuel Forbes and like they were on Mikey Sanderstill last few years. Forbes failed. Sanderstill, it worked out pretty well. Amos, we need him to work out as well for this secondary to make the improvements necessary for this team to get back to the conference championship game. Our friends at Riggo's Rag, Stubb, also had a hilarious headline this morning to me. They say, this is nauseating. The NFL brutally disrespects the Commanders with sickening regular season opener. The Washington Commanders are riding on the crest of a wave right now that didn't stop the NFL schedule makers from disrespecting their 2024 accomplishments with a sickening regular season opener on primetime, giving it to the Dallas Cowboys.
Sickening.
I mean, I kind of understand what they're saying here. It's kind of, I don't understand why the NFL chose Dallas over Washington for their primetime week one game. I think the answer is, if you read between the lines, it's, look, we know that Thursday night game is going to do great in the ratings because we could have Dallas playing against the Jaguars that would still do well. It's the first freaking game of the season. So why don't we throw the Cowboys in there? Because we know later, week 7 or 8, we throw Washington against Philadelphia, we're going to get great ratings. Week 14, 15, we throw Washington against Philadelphia, we're going to get great ratings. We know we want to get good ratings for week 1. We're already guaranteed good ratings for week 1. So why don't we make it a divisional game, Can't go to the Giants because they're awful, but how about the Dallas Cowboys and the quarterback matchup there, Dak Prescott against Jalen Hurts? I mean, if you told me that was the quarterback matchup 3 years ago, I would have said Dak Prescott's way better than Jalen Hurts. It's funny how things change. Dak has fallen off, had no postseason success, and got, you know, the muscle ripped off the bone of his hamstring this past season. Well, Jalen Hurts has got just improved, and had that postseason success and helped the Eagles get all the way to the Super Bowl and won the damn thing. So, Cowboys, Eagles, week one, Thursday Night Football, and then there will be a game in Brazil the next day on Friday. Michael believes that Washington's going to get 6 primetime games. I want just 4. I'm very interested to see how the NFL will slot us in. Week 12, are we really going to Spain against the Dolphins? Seems like it. Week 13, does that make it our bye week with week 14 coming up next? And that's Thanksgiving. Do we get the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? Michael said he doesn't think it's very likely the NFL would give us a bye week and then Thanksgiving on a short week. But we know Dallas will get a Thanksgiving game, and seems like Dallas Redskins is, you know, Cowboys Indians has just become like a Thanksgiving tradition in the last 15 years. RG3 started that thing in 2011-12. So we're really wondering what the Commander's schedule will look like when it gets released on Wednesday. But every day on AWOD Radio is a game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on game day.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We're the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day. Game day.
Game day, game day, game day. I'm overwhelmed with things to watch tonight. We'll start with the NBA draft lottery. That will be at 7 p.m. After that, I'll move over to the Canes-Capitals game and then close out the night with some NBA basketball. But here's what you need to know about the draft lottery. The Hawks have a 0.7% chance, not a 7%, a 0.7% chance of getting the number one overall pick. Sacramento, 0.8%. Chicago, 1.7. Dallas, 1.8. Portland, 3.7. Phoenix, 3.8. San Antonio, just a 6% chance. Now it gets bigger. You look at Toronto Raptors, 7.5% chance of getting number one. Brooklyn Nets, 9%. Philadelphia, 10.5%. New Orleans, 12.5%. And then Charlotte, Washington, and Utah all have an even 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick. You add all those percentages together, that gets you to 100%. Who's going to end up winning the lottery? The Wizards are protected into a top 5 pick, but aren't guaranteed to get a top 3 pick, and it does feel like this year's prospects, it's Cooper Flagg 1, it's the two Rutgers buys 2 and 3, and then there's a bit of a drop-off. So guaranteeing the Wizards get a top 3 pick in tonight's draft is crucial, but we want number 1. We want the next Kwame Brown, John Wall, but to actually change the fortunes of this franchise, unlike those previous number one overall picks. So Wizards draft lottery, 7 p.m., turn on ESPN. It'll be Bub Carrington, the talented rookie point guard representing the Washington Wizards tonight. Then we talk Caps Canes. Stubb, will you be rocking the red? Is that your choice tonight on game day?
Yeah, you gotta. I mean, that last matchup was pretty tough, but
yeah.
I get very psyched for Capitals postseason hockey. It's very fun.
Yeah, they really did try to ruin my Saturday night with that 4-0 defeat. And it was awful because it became 4-0 so quick. I mean, it was 0-0 first period, and I almost think that Washington was the better hockey team in the first period, just failed to score. And then the second comes around, it's 2-0. Third comes, they get that third, and you knew it was, you know, that's all she wrote. They got the fourth one late to close out the game and win 4-0. This is it could be a series-defining game four here. I think if Washington wins, they steal back momentum, and they could go back to home ice Thursday and win that game five. And maybe then win the series in 6 or 7. If they lose tonight, you know, the season's on the line on Thursday. Hurricanes will have all the momentum. I just don't see this Capitals team that, you know, is older, and some of these older guys like Carlson and Ovechkin have not played well in this second-round series here. I don't see them winning 3 straight. I think they could. Look, they can win I don't even know if they're going to win this series now, the way I'm thinking about it. I mean, Carolina's been the better team three games in a row. Now, I know hockey's all about puck luck, and you got to have the hot net miner, and Logan Thompson's been standing on his head, and then he didn't have the best game in game three there with a soft goal. But, like, even if you win game four and it's 2-2, and then you're going to win game five and then lose six, come back and win seven? I don't know, man. I'm starting to lose faith in the Capitals here. I'm hoping it was just because Saturday was so ugly. But even in the first two games of this series, and as much as you could say, well, Carolina got lucky to win late in game one, they were the better team on the ice for two of the three periods in the first two games and all three periods in the third game. I'm going to rock the red and I'm going to support the Capitals, but I'm worried. I'm definitely worried about this game and the rest of this series. NBA basketball playoffs continue tonight on TNT and ESPN. Celtics Knicks is your first game. Timberwolves Warriors is your second game. This is a Knicks game 7. This is absolutely a Knicks game 7. Feels like a Golden State game 7 as well, because Curry's not going to be able to come back until a game 6. There won't be a game 6 unless they can win this game or win the next game, and they're more likely to win this game at home than go to Minnesota and knock off the Timberwolves who are playing so well. So it's a Knicks game 7 from Madison Square Garden. Hope Ben Stiller wears his lucky underwear, because they're going to need it. Boston has been the better team every game in that series for three of the four quarters. It's kind of funny how it's similar to the NHL. Boston's been the better team, but the Knicks made two great comebacks. Game three, they didn't even come close to coming back. 115-93. So Celtics are trying to even the series. This feels like a game seven for the Knicks because Boston has home court. I'm going to pick the Knicks to win. I'm going to pick the Knicks to win this one. But like I said, when this series started, I got the Celtics winning the series in seven. Timberwolves, Warriors, unfortunately, I think Golden State's done without Steph Curry, so I will go T-Wolves to win this one. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. It's always fun live from Capital Ale House here on Monday. Come on down for Burger Night. Back like it never left, 3 p.m. to midnight. Grant Polson, Danny Ruhier drive you home on The Fan. Grant, Danny coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.